This is opening day on the home of your world champion, LA Dodgers. KLAC KYSR HD2 Los Angeles. An iHeart radio station. AM 570.
Trending.
LA Sports. Now.
Here's what's trending. From the iHeart Sports Network, world champion Dodger fans. I'm feeling you. Seven deep breaths, y'all. And embrace this muy especial home opener. Celebrate the title, the ring ceremony, fans in the stands, pavilions of pasión, the whole thing. Pre-game festivities begin 11:30, ring ceremony at 11:45. First pitch from Walker Buehler at 1:10. All here at AM 570 LA Sports, presented by Premier Jeep of Buena Park. Do what the Dodgers' Max Muncy does. Visit Premier Jeep. It's right off the 5 at Artesia in beautiful Buena Park. And say hi to my man, Frank Alvarez. And preparing you for all the beautiful pomp and ceremony of the Azul home opener. Here they are. It's the Rogan and Rodney Show. Yeah!
The wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of baseball.
You were made for this.
A leadoff home run from Mookie Betts. How do you like that? Yeah. Oh, what a play by Bellinger. First Seager, now Turner. Yeah. Down he goes. Strikeout number 13 for Kershaw.
You're stronger now. Can't hold you down. You're breaking
World Series champions.
You were never born to quit. You gotta stand up.
This is Rogan and Rodney, the home opener edition.
World champions.
The Blue take on the Washington Nationals in their first home series of the season. Hear the entire game on AM 570 LA Sports and on the iHeart Radio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Then we continue. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports, jumped on early this morning to get you ready for Dodger opening day out at the stadium. And what better way than to bring on the Godfather? He's been in baseball a long time. He's a friend of the show, and you love him. The man that can provide the insight we need. It's a pleasure to welcome on Ned Coletti. And Ned, thanks for jumping on.
My pleasure, guys. Very excited to do this today.
Okay, you were in that stadium many years. You know what it's like opening day at Dodger Stadium. What are your vivid memories?
Oh, goodness. I have many memories, some of them with other teams coming in here and having opening day. And my first game as a GM in 2006, we got beat by the Braves by a run. Big scoring game. I remember that opening day vividly. And a lot of them with Vin and Sandy throwing out the first pitch to each other and things like that. It's special. This opening day is always special, always unique feel to that day, to the entire day. But this one will be the most unique of all time because of having fans back, World Series banner, and, of course, the ring presentation ceremony. Memories forever.
Yeah, Ned, and does it matter that it's not officially opening day, it's just a home opener of the Dodgers? How different is it to being opening day of baseball at home as opposed to, you know, 6-7 games in and open up at home?
Well, it's a little different when it's the first game you're going to play that counts all year in your home. A little bit different, but I don't think it's any different this year. I think when you think about, you got a first place team for sure, because it's not like, well, we hope to win today, we'll be in first place. No, you're in first place, you're 5-2. And, you're sitting pretty good. And now you come home and, you know, with the fans being there for the first time in 18 months and everything else that's going on today, I don't think it matters if they started on the road. I think that's, people will forget that in time. That'll become a footnote asterisk at some point.
Ned Coletti with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, Dodger opening day at the stadium on AM 570 LA Sports. And, of course, you will hear all of it, every bit of it, and we'll have the pregame show starting at about 11:25. Ned, all right, so the Dodgers, I would say, are off to a pretty good start. Did you see any flaws or weaknesses in that first series of games?
Well, I think the bullpen a little bit as far as Kenley goes. I think the other day was a tough day for him. You lose that lead to Oakland. His stuff was not sharp. It looked like he was out of sync with his delivery, as we talked about it a handful of times. The delivery has got to be, for any pitcher, especially for Kenley, it's got to be very, very precise. And I thought it was a little bit out of sync, and he didn't have his best stuff, and ended up giving up a run there. But other than that, you look at this team, you get the starting pitching. I mean, it's just, there's ace after ace after ace. Everybody's pitching great. A lot of talent there. The offense, you sit in Colorado, you sit two of your better players on Saturday, you win the game. Sunday, you sit two of your better players, you win the game. It's as advertised. It's the best team in baseball. It's the deepest team in baseball. The lineup is terrific, not a weak spot, especially when you have a DH like you had in Oakland for 3 days. And you got starting pitching that nobody has. You could every one of those starting pitchers would be either the ace or the number two anywhere else they'd be pitching. And here they are. You got 4 and 5, Julio and Dustin May, who a lot of teams would love to have those two guys sitting at the top of their rotation, and they're at the bottom of this one, and there's still more to come. So it's been a great opening, I thought. I think that, got to get Kenley squared away a little bit. Other than that, I don't see too much that would even be concerning me, which is tough to do.
How about Jimmy Nelson? Now, he has really struggled.
Well, that's a good point, too. Yeah, I forgot about Jimmy there for a second. You're right. It has been a struggle with him. I don't know if it's the new environment, new team, new role, or just where he's at. Maybe rust, maybe it's just where he's at. But that will sort itself out in time. And I think what you'll see in a probably a short period of time is you'll see Dave, because he's the master at it, really using guys a little bit more judiciously to get a little bit of confidence in there as well. Maybe you use Jimmy Nelson in a game that's got a lot of run cushion to it either way. And maybe for a couple of times, David Price a little bit too. You're talking about guys that haven't pitched competitively for a long time. And not only that, but okay, you warm up for a couple minutes and then you're coming into the game. This isn't like you drive to the ballpark, you've known for 4 days, you're starting, and now you're going to go through your routine. I mean, think of Clayton Kershaw, his routine when he starts. No doubt that David Price had a routine of his own, as did Jimmy Nelson. And so now your routine is you go and you're available to pitch today, and the phone rings and somebody says, all right, you got 15 pitches to get rolling here, and you may come in with runners on, you may come in at a clean inning. The game has already begun. The theme of the game has already been started. And the tenor of the game's already been started. So a lot of different things. Not excuses, it's just it takes some time to adjust. That's all.
Yeah, and speaking of time, I'm wondering, and going back to Kenley, how much time did he actually have? Because we all love him. First of all, get that out there, because we all love him. But when he struggles, it's almost, Ned, like it's he struggled for 3 games. It's magnified so much because of recent history. How do they deal with him going forward if what we've seen the last couple of years continues as it did against Oakland?
Well, the first thing you start out with is you got to make sure that A, is healthy, and B, that his delivery is as synced up as it can be with Mark Pryor. And you start there. You start with the diagnostics of the player. And if that, once you get that all squared up, if the results are the same, then then you got to question where you're at in your career too a little bit. But I think when I watched him the other day, he looked a little anxious to me. He looked, and I'm not saying he was. I'm not him. But he looked a little bit anxious, and he looked like he was trying to force his delivery a little bit and try and force a little bit more velocity. And that's never good. But I think, you start to answer your question, you start with the diagnostics. A, is he healthy? B, is the delivery synced up? If that is, and everything is right, and he feels like he's 100%, but the results are not, well, then you gotta figure out what you're gonna do with that position. You can't. As much as you love somebody, you may be able to give them an extra go around or maybe two because of the strength of the rest of the club and the domination that you should probably have in this division, especially with Tatis out. But, you know, you don't do that forever. You do it for a period of time out of respect and out of hope that, somebody can rediscover what made him one of the best of all time, certainly the best of all time in this franchise.
Ned, Major League Baseball, it was been reported that they want to check Trevor Bauer's, well, this is wrong. I can't say Trevor Bauer's balls.
Oh,
they wanted to.
Pause,
no, that
Fred,
was wrong.
Pause. Pause.
I don't know why I said that.
Well, it's too early, Fred.
I know. God. Anyway,
Ned. Opening day, Fred. Yes.
Yeah, they are checking some of the balls that he has used in games because they think there was some movement on those things, and that doesn't make sense. And this year they said they're really going to check this stuff. All right, first of all, as a guy that sat in a chair, what do you think when you hear that? Second, what are they going to find on the balls?
Well, I'm not sure what they're going to find. I think you're going to hear this far more than once this year. I think you're going to hear it with a lot of different pitchers. They're making a point of checking for anything that may be a foreign substance or maybe scuffed up for anybody. You know, take Trevor out of it for a second. You know, usually what they would do with an announcement like that is that they would tell the clubs, okay, you know, tell your guys we're doing this, but that they made it a formal announcement right at the outset of the season practically. You know, tells you that they're very suspicious. They have reason. Perhaps to be, in some cases, and they're gonna get to it, and you know that's years ago. People, you know, this was way back. Guys were, you know, were scuffing and things like that, and so there was a lot of innuendo, and people would check. I can remember one particular pitcher, the manager I was with, you know, had collected like 24 baseballs in his desk drawer that this guy had thrown the day before, and all of them had a scuff at the same place, like belt buckle scuff. Or shin guard scuff. I mean, you know, catchers used to sharpen up part of their shin guard, the strap at the back where it holds, to put a little bit of a spike there. And they would scuff it as they would move the ball across that, as they would throw it back to the pitcher. That stuff was all kind of going on quietly as far as, okay, we're going to investigate this. We suspect this pitcher. But to make an announcement like that, you know that they're making a warning and they're coming after people. And then they're going to, you know, do they let it out of the bag a little bit? Who they're checking into? Like yesterday, with I think the Athletic broke the story.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. You got to be careful with what you do. But as somebody said, maybe Trevor said it. How do you know who did what? Because you're not the only person who's got the ball.
Okay. Well, that's a very good defense. But aside from that,
because, you don't buy it, Fred?
No, I don't buy that. But of course not. But that was pretty smart. That's pretty smart to say.
But it's accurate, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe the umpire did it. Maybe the ball boy did it. Maybe the umpire did it. But what I want to...
Well, maybe the fielder, who knows? Maybe catcher? The bat did it. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, maybe the shortstop did it. Maybe the catcher did it. But here's the thing I don't understand. All right, we're going to send these balls off, and they're going to be evaluated. But wait a minute. The umpires are on the field. They see the balls. If they take the ball from the catcher, if they say, let me see the ball... then can't they make that determination there? Why are they now going to send it to somebody to look at when they themselves can look at it on the field?
Well, I guess they want a little bit more proof, a little bit more science to it. Years ago, wasn't as much science to anything that was going on. A little bit more science to it, I guess. And maybe they don't want to be the one pointing the finger at somebody and saying, hey, did you or didn't you? You know, it's a tough thing to accuse somebody of as well without a lot of proof. You know, it's tough to say, hey, you know, stop cheating if you're not cheating. You know, how do you say that? It's like the steroid issue. How could you say, hey, you're doing this and you're convicting me of doing something? You know, you don't know if I do it or I don't do it. So, you know, it's probably just a lot of different steps that people feel they have to take in order to get to the right conclusion.
Hey, Ned, you know, when you look at this team, especially looking on paper and then actually when you see them play on the field, it's tough to find another team that is talented as the Dodgers are they going to face, you know, the issue of competing against themselves going forward? Because on the long haul, and you've said this many times on our show, that over a 7-game series, over a 162 game season, there's nobody better than the Dodgers, and they'll just pound you and pound you and pound you, and they'll win like they've done, and especially this year. But they come out of Colorado, win three of the four that game, that series, two out of three from Oakland. Yet people are still snarking, oh, are they really that good? Picking things that they want to pick at for the Dodgers. Are they going to face that all season long? Because they can't be perfect, but they're still going to win series like they're winning them.
Well, I think you make a great point, right? Some of this, because the team is, barring a lot of different injuries, the team is so strong. They'll be playing against records. They'll be playing against themselves a lot. They'll be playing against the game itself, because a lot of the opponents can't pitch. A lot of the opponents, they don't have the lineup. They don't have the defense. They don't have the pitching at any point in time. And you can get to that. I think there's a few things that drive this club differently than would drive another team that's coming off a championship. One is no parade last year. One is no celebration at Dodger Stadium. All those different things. The guys I've talked to, they're still hungry for that. They love to win. They play hard. They play for each other. They play for the city. But they also know that they got, because of everything that went on, nobody's fault. They ended up with a lesser celebration, a lesser feeling in that championship moment and the months that follow it. So I think that drives them. I think something else that they've done that is really important and I think vital to not having what you just laid out as a possibility, which I agree with to some extent, there's so much competition on this team to play. Guys want to play. And so, if you got six or seven guys that are kind of, not taking it for granted, but kind of going through the motions because it's easy and they're up by 25 games, you still want to play. And they don't have eight people they run out there every day, the same eight, and you've got a handful of guys that are going to play on Sunday afternoon. No, everybody on this team can play. And I think when you see what Zach McKinstry just did, that everybody's happy for Zach McKinstry. But, some other guys are going, I got to turn my game up a little bit. This kid can play. And Chris Taylor got versatility. I got to, this guy can play everywhere. I got to continue to work at my game. I think the way they've set it up, whether by design or whatever, I think it's so effective because you have competition versus other teams, which is kind of the topic of this. How do you compete against teams that you beat all the time? But you also have competition internally to play. Don't get me wrong; they love each other. They're a band of brotherhood almost here. But you still want to play, and you still want to compete for that opportunity to be out on the field. And they've done a great job of keeping guys a little bit on edge, a little bit fine tuned to get those opportunities. And I think that's a key thing that a lot of teams don't have.
Well, you mentioned Zach McKinstry, and there's no question about it, he can play. But I think it's important to keep in mind, this is the first time through where other pitchers are seeing him. Then, as we know, it's the adjustment period. Cody Bellinger had to go through it. Corey Seager had to go through it. Once they see him a couple of times, they're going to adjust, which means he has to adjust to them. At this point in time, Ned, where would you put McKinstry's game?
Well, you're right on, but it's always a game of adjustment, and he's come out strong. Had a good spring, played in the outfield a little bit more than he had in the past, a little bit of center field. They're kind of fine tuning him to get him ready for the season, and he started off well. But there's going to be many, many pages to this book with Zach, as there is with everybody. Every day, as an opposing player, you have a chance to learn about the people you're playing against. And there's no doubt they go over scouting reports, they go over video, and they say, you got to pitch this player a certain way. And if a pitcher can execute, and that's a whole other story because a lot of the guys pitching today can't execute, but those who can execute, they're going to find a spot or two that he is less productive, a little bit more vulnerable. And those that can execute are going to attack it. And those who are watching from the next series will say, hey, you know what, they got this guy out this way. And that's what they do. And unless a hitter can adjust, you'll see that average just nosedive. But the best hitters adjust really pitch to pitch. A guy like Nomar Garciaparra, pitch to pitch with Nomar Garciaparra, mind computer almost, where he could figure things out, in a second or two, and think about another approach. Think about something. That was pretty interesting what I just saw. And you've got to have that type of thought process. Guys like Nomar, guys like the late Tony Gwynn, they were just geniuses at hitting and understood it. Some guys will adjust at bat to at bat. Some guys series to series. Some guys week to week. Some guys never, and we'll see them later, you know? So I think that it remains to be seen how he adjusts to it. He's off to a great start. Not a lot of pitchers that could really execute, but that's not his fault. And we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I like the energy he brings. I've said it a handful of times on TV that if I was writing a scouting report on Zach McKinstry, the first two words I would write would be baseball player, which may sound funny, but it's something that kind of separates those that are tremendously gifted, but also somebody who's not necessarily overly gifted, but who plays the game precisely and just with a passion to it. And that's Zach.
Butterflies today, Ned. I'm excited. Like, it's been a long time since I played, but I am excited, always excited for opening day, and the Dodgers should be too. Real quick, Ned, you know, you just mentioned those two guys. You mentioned Zach McKinstry and also Edwin Rios getting more playing time. How much, when you look back, how much is the Dodgers going to miss Kike and Jock Peterson and their contributions, because they don't get where they've gotten the last few years without those two guys?
No doubt. You know, Kike Hernandez became one of the most valuable players in the league. He could have he'd be in a gold glove conversation in any position he played, and we can never, you know, defense isn't as sexy as home runs and great pitching and things like that, but defense is really how you win a lot of games. Tremendous player and really clutch when it got to the month of October and some key games. And Jock was the same. You know, the month of October was huge for him. And not every player is an October type of player. There's no doubt they're going to miss those two guys. But you know what? You have to also keep your team fresh, and you got to keep competition, and you got to give other people opportunity. You know, will Rios and Zach replace TK and Jock completely? Maybe not today, maybe in time. You know, that's part of the deal. But there's always change in a sport where you have free agency and you don't have, you know, people playing 20 years in the same organization. So we'll miss those two guys. There's no doubt. They brought character to it. They had, you know, Kike was a character, is a character, besides being a very versatile and good player and a clutch hitter, as is Jock. But that's part of the game. And, you know, it's sometimes, you know, falling in love with your players is something that happens a lot, especially when you win as many games as this franchise has won the last almost decade. And you think about that, you know, you fall in love with guys. But you also have to make prudent moves, and you have to give other people opportunity. And, you know, sometimes there's a balance of salary, too, when you think about it. Because everything does get balanced out. Every team has got a budget. Every team has got. You know, a line that they're not going to cross, so to speak, certainly at the beginning of the season. And so for every highly paid superstar, sometimes you need a young player making in and around the minimum to kind of balance that out. And that's, you know, that may be part of a thought process too. I mean, it was always part of my thought process, you know, different place and time. But you sometimes had to balance it out with a younger player at a lesser salary. So then as you add up two players' salary, it's not, you know, a 25 and a 25. It's a 25 and, you know, a 0.5. So, you know, some of that probably goes into it too a little bit.
All right. Well, after that, I'm going to whip out my abacus, because that was a lot of numbers to try to figure out, Ned. But we appreciate you coming on.
All right, guys. Have a great day. This is so special. I mean, it is so special. I'll probably have a tear in my eye watching it.
All right, Ned. Well, we appreciate you coming on. I think a lot of people will have a tear in their eye as they watch this. We appreciate you jumping on early with us today. And now we're going to send you out to the stadium and get ready to go. We've got the ring ceremony. We've got the banner unveiling. And we've got everybody in place for what should be a very special day at Dodger Stadium. Kevin and Ronnie, thank you for jumping in here early this morning. Rodney, you have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you on Monday.
AM 570. LA Sports.